Bible tonight, if we'll, let's go to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4. Been preaching through this book, and I think this is the 17th message. And we've not exhausted it by any means, but just trying to preach as the Lord has led as we've gone through the book. And I'm going to wind it up tonight, beginning reading, if you will, Colossians 4, verse 7. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, and a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are at Laodicea and Nymphas and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you. Amen." Before we get into the message, I want you to go back to verse 16. It says that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Now, sometimes you'll have people to say, well, that's a lost book of the Bible. I just want you to know that's not true. That's not true. Now, I believe maybe Paul wrote that letter, but God did not see fit to put it in this book, in the Bible. And by the way, God didn't lose anything he wanted to keep, all right? He doesn't lose anything. He won't lose you, and he hadn't lost any of his word. He's able to keep it all. So, but sometimes people take those kind of verses, and they try to teach something squirrely, and if they do, don't swallow that deal, all right? I now introduce a message tonight. I've debated honestly with myself as to how God would have me to preach this message tonight. There's several ways these verses could be biblically applied, and I think several ways to present the truth that's here. And so I debated back and forth, you know, and just being a plain and simple person, it's easier for me to just present it to you in a plain and simple manner, all right? So that's what I plan to do tonight, just take and kind of apply it. I entitled the message, first of all, The Importance of People in Ministry. But then I got to thinking, I think I might call it Paul's Pals, all right? All of these are people that Paul knew, okay? And so we'll just take a look at them. And I'm just going to try to give you a few simple statements of fact that are supported by these verses. And when you hear them, you're going to go, well, that was simple. And preacher, there's nothing profound. You know, I've found it's not profound stuff we need. It's simple facts. Just the simple truths, just get a hold of them and let them help us. First thing I want you to see, obviously, God uses people. God uses people. He decided to use his people to get his message to this world. That was God's choice, you know. He could have used anything he wanted to. The Bible talks about, you know, the rocks could cry out. And God, if he had chosen, he could have let the rocks do the speaking for him, all right? He could have. He could have used the trees if he had wanted to. He could have used the animals, all right? But he didn't do that. He decided to use people. You go all through the Bible, he reveals that he uses people again and again and again. It's people. Now, commoners to kings, he used them. Commoners to kings. It didn't have to be anybody fancy. Farmers and tax collectors. There are so many extremes of the people that God used in the Bible, it's amazing. But the one good thing about that means God can use you. God can use you. You say, well, I'm not an intellectual. Well, some of these folks in the Bible were unlearned and ignorant. That's what they said about Peter. The other disciples, these unlearned and ignorant men. But look what God did with them. Look what God did with them, all right? Hey, he'll use ignorant. You've got a chance. I've got a chance, all right? God will use us, all right? He'll take us and he can use us. And he uses people all the way down the line. Second thing I want you to see very quickly is you can't do the work of God apart from people. You can't do the work of God. Churches are not built apart from people. No ministries are established apart from people. Missionaries are not sent apart from people. Buses are not run apart from people. You got to have people, all right? Bible classes are not taught unless you got people. Hey, you got to have somebody to teach them. You got to have somebody to be taught. It is no fun standing in front of an empty class teaching the greatest lesson the world's ever had the opportunity to hear. Hey, man, it's the work of God. It can't do it apart from people. Tracts are not distributed if there's not a person that'll take them in their hand and take them and hand them out. It's people. Buildings are not cleaned. You know, oftentimes we overlook the little things. We overlook little, but I don't know about you, but don't you like going into a bathroom that's clean? Well, I do. I was talking to somebody, last Sunday, I was talking to a fella, and I'm not going to tell you who it was, but we were talking, and he said, yeah, we used to take trips when we go to motels. He said, but many, so many times they're just nasty. And he said, if we go, my wife carries stuff to clean them. He said, we carry our own sheets. We carry everything. Why? Because they're filthy so many times. Many times. I've been in a motel before, checked in, came in there and pulled back sheets, and you can tell they hadn't been washed. Somebody slept in them, and nothing been changed. So what'd you do? Well, we just turned them over. No, we didn't. All right. We didn't do that. Hey, buildings are not clean apart from people. I want to tell you, souls are not saved apart from somebody, apart from people. Bible says, man, how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to tell people, right? I just want to tell you, you can't do the work of God apart from people. It takes people. Now, number three, the well-known folks have somebody helping them. They have somebody helping them. I remind you, there's an individual in the Bible called Jesus Christ. He called 12 men. He called out 12 men. They helped him. He sent them out two by two, all right? He sent the disciples out two by two. What was the purpose? They were helping him. When he stood there before the 5,000 and took that bread, those guys helped him feed that 5,000. Without those 5,000, it would have been pandemonium. It would have been pandemonium. I mean, you've got to line it up. He had them sit down by groups, and he said, all right, He broke it, handed disciples, they handed it to the people. Why? I don't care. The well-known have somebody helping them. The well-known have somebody helping them. If there's ever been a great evangelist, there was always somebody helped them. D.L. Moody had song leader helping him. All right? Song leader traveled with him. Great song leader. Ira Sankey traveled. All right? Great song leader. And boy, over and over again, if you read down through history, and you'll see that over and over again, there's somebody that helped. Elisha had Gehazi. Elisha had Gehazi. Paul lists 9 men in our text that we just read that were a help to him. Fellow laborers, he called them, all right? Hey, the famous, all right, the famous, if you will, have somebody to pitch in and help them, all right? The ones that are well known, he could not have done, none of these could have done what they did without the one that helped them. You couldn't do it. Yeah, they had to have that helper, right? I'm sure, well, I know he has because we've talked about it. Brother Ofdahl went and started 2 churches. He said there were times, he said, I led the singing, I drove the bus, I preached the. My dad talked to me one time, I forget him talking about when he was in Georgia. He drove the bus, picked people up on the bus, got out, led the singing, taught the Sunday school class, led the singing, preached the sermon, drove the bus home, came back Sunday night, led the singing, and did the preaching. He said, man, he said, what to do? Made him tired. That's what it did. All right? And he was glad when there was somebody come along and lead that singing. When there's somebody drive the bus. Hey, it's a blessing. The well-known folks and the well-known, for lack of a better word, ministries, there's somebody that helps them. Man, Lee Faulkner was a right-hand man at Highland Park Baptist Church for years and years and years and years. But Dr. Lee Robertson. Hey, somebody helping him. Somebody helping him. If you know the Apostle Paul, you know he went on the missionary journeys, he had somebody with him. It was Paul and Silas. It was Paul and Barnabas, okay? And there were people with him, all right? Now, everybody, number four, everybody God uses is not well known. Truthfully, the vast majority of the ones that God uses are pretty much unknown. They're unknown. Now, we know of Gehazi. I mentioned Elisha had Gehazi, all right? But we don't know who the servant was with Elisha at Dothan. That was one, remember, he went out and he saw all that crowd of the enemy's men and he came in and he said, and basically told Elisha, we're done for. And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. Now, we don't know his name. I don't know about you, but I kind of wonder, why did he tell us Gehazi's name? Gehazi really didn't come out so well, all right? And some of y'all are looking at me like, who's Gehazi, all right? Said, just who is that fella? Well, he was the one there that when Naaman came to be cleansed, all right, his maid had told him about the man of God, so he came and came up, knocked on the door and said, okay, I'm here, do your thing, you know. And Elisha sent Gehazi down and said, you tell him to go wash in the river seven times, go dip the Jordan seven times. He was the one that told him that. But he's also the one later on that when Naaman came back and went to offer something, he's the one that said, no, the man of God won't take it. But after he left, Gehazi thought, I will. And he chased him down, right? He wound up with leprosy. Now, God tells us his name, but he didn't tell us the name of his servant that was with him at Dothan, all right? Doesn't give us that name. You said, why not? I'm not sure why. Not sure why. I got conjecture. I got guesses, all right? Hey, I'll be honest with you. I think the vast majority of people serve God are unknown, and the ones that make the news are the ones that flub up. You think about it. Ones that make the news are the ones that flub up. God said, man, you don't have to know, all right? God saw fit to give us the names of some of these people, but many times, even the ones he gave us their names, they're not names on everybody's lips. If I were to ask you tonight before we read Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 down through verse 18, to name me these fellows, some of you might have come up with Onesimus, but it wouldn't be because he's listed here. All right, wouldn't be because he's here. He's connected with the book of Philemon, all right? So you might have come up with, but we wouldn't have done it. You said, preacher, how would you have done? Let's change the subject, okay? I don't know, all right, really don't. But I know this. These folks were and they are in the background. What can I say? Thank God for these people. Thank God for these people. But I want you to look at them with me just a little bit tonight. We'll be done. I want you to notice some characteristics and traits of this behind-the-scene crowd, okay? Just look at some of the characteristics and traits that we're told of about them. And I'm trying to do justice to the Scripture. Well, for instance, look in verse 7. Look in verse 7. It talks about a beloved brother, all right? And verse 9 talks about beloved brother. You know, I think this wording, oh, by the way, I don't think any word's in the Bible accidentally. Everything's there on purpose. But, you know, I look at this and I think, you know, some of these people, they're like family. You know, when we get to the house of God and we begin to labor together and work together, people become like family to you. They're like a member of the family. Well, I mean, many times I think of members of this church that have passed away, and it was like losing an uncle or a brother or, boy, somebody in the family died, okay? because there was a closeness there. We had labored together. I remember Brother Harold. Brother Harold, one of a kind guy. And man, if you wanted somebody that was fun to work with, that's Brother Harold, okay? That was Brother Harold. I mean, physically work, you know, we did some work, you know, hammering and nailing and everything. And Brother Harold was famous for a phrase. We'd look up there and there'd be a crack or seam. He said, "We can caulk it. We can caulk it." And it didn't matter. He would caulk some pretty big places, I think, all right? But he was also an enjoyable guy to get out on the streets with, knocking on doors, visiting the bus route. There's only one like Brother Harold. I don't suggest you do the method he used, but it was him, man. He'd knock on the door, "Bus worker! We're from the bus, we're from church," you know. Holler it out so people could hear it. Hey, you get around people. You get around people like that and you work with them. They're like family. They're like family. Now, I know we'll refer to brothers and sisters in Christ. I understand that. But I can't help but feel like a little bit, you know, Apostle Paul here, he's talking about a beloved brother. He's talking about somebody he was really, really close to. Very, very close to. I remember Brother Hawkins. Brother Hawkins, he I don't know how many times he told me, he said, "You know, preacher, I remember when I first started coming to church here, I said, now I'm not getting close. I'm not getting close to these people like I've done in the past. Not going to do it. Not going to do it." All of y'all know that was a lie. He did. He did. Now, he didn't mean to when he started, but he did. He's like family. He's like family. Hey, there we are, serving together, serving the Lord. Become like family. It's a group, and it's a highly well-knit group, all right? But that's not all. I want you to look in verse 9, okay? Verse 9. And we could have gone to other places, but with Onesimus, a faithful. See, that word faithful shows up in verse 7, too, all right? Faithful. You talk about characteristics of those that serve the Lord, and they may be in the background, but that characteristic of being faithful. Faithful, you say faithful how? Look in verse 12. Look in verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Who Epaphras talking about him, one of you, a servant, saluted you, always laboring fervently." All right? Laboring. He was faithful to work. He was faithful to work. You see it? All right? Always laboring. That's faithful to work. Faithful to work. You can count on it. Man, I don't know how many people I've talked to in this day and age trying to hire people who said you can't find people to work. Can't find people to work. I've been in restaurants and there would be a line of people waiting and you'd stand there and see half the restaurant was empty. There's nobody at those tables. But if you say anything, say we don't have anybody to serve those tables. Why? Well, you can't get anybody to work. Nobody wants to work. Hey, the great thing, you want one of the greatest characteristics and trait of this behind the scenes crowd, they're faithful. They're faithful to work, always laboring. Look, folks, it takes work to get the job done. It takes work to get the job done. We're working towards the mission conference. Boy, I just want to tell you straight out, there's a lot of work involved. A lot of work. Most of it goes on behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. It's a lot of work. People are involved. You say, well, who does it? I don't even try to start naming them because I miss somebody and they'll get mad and leave the family, all right? I don't want to do that, but people do it. Hey, there's a lot of them. They labor. There's so much work to be done. Hey, thank God for people that are faithful to work. Faithful to work. Just stay with it. Hey, not only that, look at verse 10. The Bible says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. My fellow prisoner. You say, what's he getting at here, people? I believe this. They're faithful not only to work, they're faithful to stick. Aristarchus stuck even when it meant prison. Even when it meant prison. He didn't back off. He didn't step down. He didn't say, okay, I'm done, fellas. If it's that, no, I'm not doing that. But he stuck it out, went to prison. A fellow prisoner with the Apostle Paul, all right. Hey, you know, I'm amazed at it. It doesn't take too much to turn some folks today away from serving God. Doesn't take too much to do it. I remember one time we had two ladies out visiting and the dog got in their car. They had left the windows rolled down. This big German Shepherd dog got in their car. Nuts. I remember another one they were visiting, and some guy came out with a pipe and bashed their windshield. Said, "Preacher, keep it up. I ain't never going visiting this church." I can tell you about one that had somebody pull a gun on him. He said, "Preacher, for sure, I'm done. All right. Hey, wait a minute. I tell you, he said, what to do? Well, they kept home. But you can't quit because of a little opposition, all right? Now, can I say this to you? I've been in the Lord's work for over 50 years. I've only known of one person had a dog get in their car. I only know of one time that happened. I only know of one person that had a gun pulled. And they really didn't threaten him with a gun. It was just there, okay? Just there. I only know of one instance where they beat their windshield with a pipe. And all these years, I only know of one. But I tell you what we do. We sit and go, I don't want to be number two. Hey, you probably won't be. Matter of fact, there's not much chance you will be. Just not much chance you will be, okay? Hey, I'm just saying to you, faithful to stick. Stick it out. Thank God for those that'll stick through thick and thin. Through the mountaintop experience, but also through the valley. Hey, that's what it takes to make it, okay? That's what it takes to get the job done. Faithful to work. Faithful to stick. Just plain old faithful to God. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says a faithful minister. Faithful minister. And verse 9, a faithful brother. All right? Faithful and beloved brother. Faithful brother. Faithful minister. Who there? It's just plain old faithfulness to God. And it's faithfulness to God that produces those who are around year after year and service after service just showing up doing their part. Hey, you don't have to call my name. You don't have to recognize me. I'm going to be here. I'm going to do my part. Do my part. I'll do it in the background. I don't have to be out in the forefront. I don't have to be in front of anybody. I'll just keep doing the job I've got to do. I'll stay with it. Why? I'm faithful to God. Faithful to God. Man, what a blessing. What a blessing. It is so good to have folks like that. It's so good. I remember when my dad became pastor of what used to be, it's this church, what used to be Terminal Baptist Church. There were some men that had been faithful to the pastor before him, and they've stayed faithful as he took the pastorate. Why? They were faithful to God. They were faithful to God. I'm thankful for those that when I became the pastor, they remained faithful. Remained faithful. Why? They were faithful to God. Now, my dad and I are a lot alike, but we're a lot different too. And I'm sure my dad was different. I know he was different from the fellows before him at this church. But people were faithful. They're faithful to God, all right? Serving Him. Serving Him. You talk about the characteristic that'll make you last and it'll keep you in there, and those behind the scenes and that behind the scene crowd, hey, they're going to be faithful. They're going to be like family. They're going to be faithful, all right? There's another thing. You got your Bible there? Look at verse 12. The Bible says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring, notice, fervently for you in prayer. Fervent. Fervent. You look that word fervent up, and it says with great intensity. With great intensity. Verse 13 talks about, he says, I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you. I believe that word fervent and that word zeal, they've got a lot in common, all right? That great intensity, that great force, that great enthusiasm about themselves, all right? But notice they were enthusiastic and they had zeal for people. People. Hey, look, if you're going to be involved in God's work, you got to have something going for you for people. Because it is people. Now, I've heard somebody say, somewhat jesting, say, you know, serving the Lord wouldn't be so bad if it wasn't for people. Hey, people are the thing that make it worth it. But people are the thing that make it a burden sometimes. Because people are people. They're not all like you, perfect. Okay? No, they're just people, all right? And well, what a challenge it is. But this guy, the Bible said he was fervent. And he had some intensity about him. He was on the ball about what he was doing. I'll be honest with you, I like people that are serious, that are zealous, that are fervent in what they do for God. Boy, it's a blessing to see that. It's a blessing to see it, and people get involved and say, I'll be involved, and I will get after it. I'll do my best. And yep, you can count on me. Just let me know what. I'll take care of it. Fervent about themselves. Fervent. With zeal about them, all right? There's some people, they say, what do you want me to do? Okay, do this right here. A little job takes 10 minutes, you never see them again. They do that one job, 10 minutes, never see them again. But here's the one that's zealous. They say, all right, I got that one done. What's next? What's next? What can I do now? What can I do now? Boy, that's fervent. That's a zeal for the work of God. I want to tell you, those are the kind of people that help make a success out of the one that's in the public eye. They're the ones that do that labor, take care of it, all right? Now, I wish with all my heart I could stand here tonight and say, boy, it's all positive, but it's not. Because some fall by the wayside. Look, if you will, verse 14. It says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Demas is mentioned three times in the scriptures, all right? Three times. Demas represents those folks that kind of bloom for a little while, and then they seem to wilt and walk away. They depart. I don't always know why folks fall away. Because I found this out in my ministry, people won't tell you the truth. They won't tell you the truth about why they fall away. They usually just try to beat around the bush. But we do know with Demas, because 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 tells us he forsook Paul because he loved the world. He loved the world. That's why he fell away. I'll say this. I don't. You say, preacher, you think everybody that falls away is because they love the world? No. But I'll tell you this, I do believe every one of them that fall away is because they don't love the Lord enough. They don't love the Lord enough. You know, would you just think with me for a minute? Our Lord's been so good to us. Here, we're talking about hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners. And He came after us. He came after us. You said, He didn't. Well, He sent somebody. He sent somebody. He sent His Son to pay the price for our sin. He didn't have to do that. He could have written us off. Had He wanted to, He could have written us off and started all over. But He didn't do that. But He's willing to save us. He saved us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't do anything to merit it. We can't do anything to merit it. But He gives us eternal life. And then some of us walk on Him and we presume on the grace of God and the long-suffering of God, but He keeps on loving us all the way down the line. Now, I just ask you, how do you not love that one? How do you not love Him? How do you not love Him? How do you not love Him enough to serve Him? I don't know, but I know there's a lot that fall away. I know down through the years, boy, there's been a lot of people. There's a lot of folks. And sometimes, occasionally, now as we're out knocking on doors, I'll run into somebody like that. And they're not bitter. They're just out. They're just out. And you hear things, well, I don't believe you have to go to church to serve the Lord. You know, and I don't believe that, you know, and I don't believe you got to do that. I don't believe you got to go to church to be saved. Well, me either. But I believe if you are saved, you will, okay? If you love the Lord, if you love the one that saved you, I believe you will. Hey, I don't understand it, but I know some people do. It's a sad thing. Some of these, here he is, one out of nine that's named in this chapter, he wound up away. He wound up, in a sense, shipwrecked, all right? But I just want to tell you, we're not going to stop there. I don't want to stop on the downer, okay? Instead, would you go with me at verse 10? Would you look at verse 10? He says, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom, this Marcus, ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. We're not going to end on the Demas type, okay? We're going to look at this fellow Marcus. This is a guy that's known as John Mark. He's a relative of Barnabas. He went on a missionary trip with Paul and Barnabas, and he went on that, and he left them. He departed from us and went back home. All right? He departed from Paul and Barnabas, and he went back home. He left them. Paul and Barnabas were counting on him, and he left. Now, later on, Paul and Barnabas were fixed to take another trip, and Barnabas said, let's take John Mark. And Paul said, we're not taking him. We are not going to take that rascal. He's a quitter, and he dropped out on us. We're not taking him. And the Bible said there was enough dissension that Paul and Barnabas split. All right, Paul and Barnabas split over that, and Barnabas took John Mark, Paul took Silas, all right, and they went on their way serving the Lord. But it's later now, and we find Colossians chapter 4, and the Lord gives us this from inspired Paul to put this in here, and he says, this is the one touching whom ye receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. He said, what happened? Well, something's changed. Something's changed. Hey, the good thing, it's wonderful that those that serve God can be like family. It is true, they're faithful. They're the ones that are faithful to work and to stick. They're just faithful to God. It's true, they're the ones that are fervent in their praying and in their spirit and in their labor. It's unfortunately true, some fall by the wayside, but thank God you can be forgiven. Thank God. You can be forgiven. Hey, there is a second chance. Just because of a slip-up in the past, all right, something's changed. Now, I don't know, it changed. He's been forgiven by Paul, and that one that Paul had said, we're not taking him, Paul's now saying he's a blessing. He is a blessing. You know, I think there's two lessons there. One is, just because of a slip-up in the past doesn't mean we need to give up on people. Let's don't give up on people. It's easy to give up on folks. It's easy to say, can't, I'm done. Old brother Jesse West, pastor now in Durant, Oklahoma, I don't know how many times he's told me, he said, preacher, I'm glad you didn't give up on me. But I don't know how many times I'd get in my car and drive to Newark. Drive out to Newark, and he'd see me, you know. They were always nice. They were kind. And it was the same old deal. Hey, brother, hadn't seen you lately. Where you been? Where you been? Oh, well, yeah. There's always some excuse. But I'm not bragging on me, but I looked at Jesse West as somebody who was worth not quitting on. And we get sometimes too big a hurry to quit on people. Brother Whitaker he texted me. I'm going to read you this, all right? I'm going to read you this text. He texted me earlier in the week about this situation. And he was talking about another great morning, this past Sunday morning. And he said, with a grown, wayward son who came forward to repent. And he said, I love seeing a wayward child reclaim. I encourage parents to never give up. I'm in with him right there, buddy. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on somebody. Hey, it doesn't have to be your own child. Don't give up on somebody that's kind of slid away maybe and messed up a little bit, maybe didn't do everything you wanted them to do. Don't give up on them. Don't quit. Don't say, well, we're done. You don't get another chance, all right? I believe we ought to give people another chance. I'm glad God's given me more than one chance. Aren't you glad he gave you more than one? Hey, I'm glad he gave me more than one chance to get saved, because I didn't get saved the first time I knew I should. I'm glad he stayed after me. So I think there's that instruction to us, But I also think this instruction to somebody else, if you feel like, well, hey, I wasn't treated fairly, old Paul, John Mark could have said, well, Paul wasn't fair to me, Barnabas wanted me to go with him, and he wouldn't take me, and I'm done. Now, wait a minute, hang in there. Maybe there's something old John Mark needed to learn. Maybe there's some seasoning he needed. Right? Don't get mad at that one. Don't write off that person that says to you, hey, there's something you need. You need more than what you've got. That's not a blanket condemnation. That is not a deal that says you're finished, you can never do anything for God. No, sir. No, sir, not at all. I believe we ought to work with those that have kind of slipped up and help make them profitable again for the ministry. I believe we ought to put some effort into that. We ought to put some effort into it. Hey, just ask you tonight in closing, do you see yourself in here? Could somebody say, hey, call your name and say, there's a beloved brother. There's a beloved sister. There's a faithful minister. Faithful minister. Hey, there's one that has been messed up, but boy, they've come back and turned into a fruitful individual. Do you see yourself anywhere in there? Is there somewhere that would describe you? You know, always laboring fervently. Is that you? Hey, do you see a self that said, well, I need a little work to be that? Well, are you willing to put in the work? Are you willing to put in work? Or just going to be content? Well, you know, that's just the way God made me. I get so sick of hearing people say that. Hey, God made you, but that doesn't mean you can't be improved, all right? That you can't improve your attitude, your outlook, your labor. You can. I can. We just need to put a little effort into it, all right? Hey, do you see yourself anywhere in there? Oh, thank God. Thank God. As a pastor, I thank God for those that labor fervently. I thank God for those that you can count on. Hey, they're going to take care of it. They're going to take care of it. I'm not going to call any names. The ones that I would call would not want me to call them. They would say, don't do it, preacher. Don't do it. I don't want you to call my name. Oh, boy, there's folks here. You've labored fervently. You've been dependable. God bless your heart. I'm going to call one. He's in glory. Brother Curtis. Remember Brother Curtis? Brother Curtis drove a bus for us for years and years and years. I can remember watching him being here on Sunday morning early. The bus, he's got the bus here, and he's going out to the bus, and you watch him walk, and he's in pain. He's in pain walking. I mean, every step. Sometimes I don't know how he got in the bus. I don't know how he's able to get in the bus. He told me, he said, yeah, those doctors won't do knee replacement on me. He said, I don't want to have it done. As long as I can still walk, I'm going to keep it up, you know. I'm going to keep it up. And, boy, he was faithful until the stinking insurance company shut him down and said he can't drive the bus because of his age. Oh, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. But, boy, he was faithful. He was faithful. You could depend on him. He'd be there. He'd be there. I think of old Brother Dennis. Brother Dennis worked on the bus route with Brother Curtis. Brother Dennis was faithful. He's going to be there. When he did not show up, and he did not visit the bus route, we knew something was desperately wrong. And I was afraid that what had happened. That the reason he didn't show up is because he wasn't among the land here of the living. He had moved home, okay? Hey, listen, faithful, faithful, fervent, fervent. Like family. You know those, right? I believe that's the way God wants church to be. I think everybody in the church ought to be involved just that much. Heavenly Father, would you just help us tonight? Help us take a look at ourselves just for a moment. Help us to really be honest about our own self. Not think of somebody else, but think of ourselves.